Here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial. What's happening, Ray?
No, not much. Dodging the rain. It's winter out here, man.
So it rains during the winter?
From now till March.
Yeah, but you don't have to shovel rain.
Yeah, but if I see a glimmer of sunlight noodles between now and the end of February, it'll be when I'm not in Vancouver.
That's I know, tough, it man. Is. It's depressing, and people do get depressed because of it. But my family, when they moved out to Vancouver, like my brother still lives out there, he had no problem leaving Alberta behind. Like
really?
He said, he's like, I don't have to shovel rain. And it doesn't get minus 30 in Vancouver.
No, you just get a really good umbrella, and then off you go.
Every day, though, that's so annoying. Like, you also
like coming on this show every day.
Well, yeah, I know that. Well, you got the weekends off. But
oh, do I look forward to that.
I would rather, like, a deep shovel once a week than rain every day.
Me too.
Because, yeah, you don't
I
have
just
to
need
shovel
to see
rain.
The sun. That's all I care
I'll
about.
Give me
rain.
Something every
I'll
once
take
in
the
a while.
Rain.
You'll take rain every
I'll
day. Like
rain.
Ray's saying, every day it's raining out there.
It's you know, it's a pain in the butt. How are the drivers when the rain comes?
All slow, erratic.
Yeah, very erratic.
I'll tell you what the toughest part, honestly, is like the rain you can take. It's just there's never, it seems like, any sunlight. And that gets pretty heavy, man. It's like, holy smokes, just a little sun would be nice once in a while.
Ray, I made a statement in the last hour that rattled some cages. The statement, I said I would call Jose Theodore before I got Niemi and say, can you give me 10 days? I would go there before I went to Niemi.
When Mark Bergevin said, you know, Niemi gives him a bit of a safety net.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, man, that net has got huge holes in it.
Well, John Liu sent the email, this makes sense, and I just wanted to write, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. I would have called Jose Theodore or J.S. Giguere or somebody in Quebec and said, can you lace him up for 10 days? Like, is that, I'm being serious. I wouldn't do anything before that guy.
Well, when Pittsburgh signed him this summer, immediately when I saw that, I'm like, I wonder why him? Like, the wheels are off. They talk about, you know, we won a Stanley Cup in 2010. That's 7 years ago. That was the worst goaltended series that I can remember.
There's that stat, Ray. I think you've quoted it, too, is eight of the 16 wins, they allowed four or more goals, I believe it was.
The first game was 6-5. It was an awesome game because neither guy could stop a shot. And so he, you know, I mean, there was times in the Emmy, yes, he's a battler and he works hard and, you know, the guys really like him and all that sort of stuff. But eventually you got to stop the puck. And I just don't think he can do it at the NHL level anymore. And so I'd be concerned that, you know, Price taking a couple of days off, and they hope, of course, that the 2 days off help him springboard forward and, you know, the days off help him get a little more healthy. But if that doesn't work, you've got Charlie Lindgren and Niemi, and they better hope that Lindgren is this year's version of Mike Condon,
yeah,
who saved Ottawa's season last year.
Yep.
Well, and not to mention they're starting behind the eight ball. Like they're starting to win, and they've been winning recently, but they began, what was it, 0-6 or something like that? Like they started off so poorly, they do not have the ability to take their foot off the gas at all.
They can't afford to put Niemi in a net.
They played the card. Yeah, you get one horrible 10-game stretch a year if you want to be a playoff team. One. You have more than that, you're in big trouble.
Well, because they're going to lose three in a row at some point. So they play Columbus tonight. I think they can get to 5-1 if they win tonight. But let's say they win and then lose. Well, then all that work, you're 9-12. Like, it's just so hard to dig out of the hole, and eventually the bubble's going to burst a little bit on Lindgren. It always does, right? Any guy that comes up, they play well for, you know, if they get to this level, like Lindgren, they play great for a couple of weeks or 3 weeks, but eventually you take a step back, and I mean, then they've got Montoya when he gets healthy. They got Niemi. They don't want to play Fucale. And then you're hoping for Price. And that still seems like the best option for them.
Well, I've been saying this all afternoon. Why would you believe anything Bergevin, Price, Pacioretty has to say about a Price injury, considering what happened 2 years ago, where they kept saying the same thing? You know, oh, he's right around the corner. My understanding, very minor. Should be back any day now. Missed the whole year. So why would you believe anything?
Drouin just said, I listened to a clip of his. He said, tweaked something. It's not very serious, but we don't really know because the trainers don't say anything.
Right,
but
exactly.
They don't know anything, and especially in Montreal, those guys aren't. They're not sharing any information. Although I would say, especially Montreal, the same in Toronto. I mean, you get a better chance of, you know, finding out Lou's driver's license number than you do of what happened to Austin Matthews.
Well, that's where I was bringing this up, Ray. And what's up for me, I'm dumbfounded by it. With the amount of information that's out there, I mean, we can't find out what's wrong with Austin Matthews. Like, teammates, like, nobody's leaked it to a family member or anything. And it's the same thing. Like, Mario Tremblay came out and started spouting about Galchenyuk, what was that, a couple weeks ago? Like, if the insiders in Montreal want to dig around, I'd love to know what's wrong with Carey Price. Then we could try and piece together, okay, what is a diagnosis? It's amazing. They want to talk the nonsense about the noise outside the team. Dig around inside the team. There's got to be somebody that knows what's wrong with him.
Somebody would say something. But you just, if you really chase it down, eventually one of the guys will tell somebody something, unless they don't know anything. Like, right. Unless the training staff, you know, says nothing. I mean, sure, I'm sure everybody knows it's either a groin or a hip flexor or a knee.
Right.
They say it's got nothing to do with 2 years ago. So if we take them at their word, I don't know why,
which
but if we do, yeah. And so then it's not a knee. So then it's a hip flexor or a groin. What else? Hamstring. What else can it be?
Right.
And so to say it's a week or 10 days, nobody would know that. We all know those things are unpredictable. I mean, noodles for a goalie, I'd assume it's even more unpredictable. The first time you go down and you get back up and you tweak it again, well, then you go backwards. Now you got to wait again.
Well, you heard Carey say that it wasn't, but he said it's something that hasn't healed. But he
also referenced his position.
Right, he said it's position specific,
right.
Which is, to me, is hip, to what Ray said. It's hip, groin, or hamstring, something.
Well, in the bigger conversation that will be hanging over him and Bergevin and the team for the next 9 years is the commitment with the contract, where you gave him 8 years of $10.5 million, and the goaltending position can fluctuate week in, week out, let alone season over season.
With his past, that was the going rate.
That was more than likely the going rate, but it's still a commitment that you had to make. And if he's got injury problems, and if the position can lead him to missing more games because of those injury problems, it's just going to be a constant conversation forever. Like, they've committed to him.
And they don't deal, and they, you know, of course, they don't share any information, so there will always be babble around it, right? There'll always be speculation, and we'll always be trying, you know, he misses a game or two, and we'll all be trying to figure it out. Is it related to the last time? Is it, you know, sometimes I think if you give a little information, then it shuts the whole thing down, but teams obviously don't think so.
No, they're terrified of that. And you could win a Pulitzer, you know, I mean, if you found a way to break this news, if you found out how to break what Price has or what Matthews has, like, the International Journalism Society would recognize it.
I would
because
bet,
it's impossible.
I would bet a lot of money that our insiders know, but they can't break that story because that's their sources. You can't.
If the GM's giving it to them off the record,
exactly,
and saying, then of course you can't break that code, but you would think there are other avenues. Like, the players know. The players know.
Yeah, the players may know. That's the thing. I'm sure there's guys that, I think half the players would know, and I think maybe you guys could weigh in on this. Half of them are oblivious to what's going on. They know Carey's hurt, and that's it.
Well, I always, like, you're looking around at the guy, he's got an ice pack on his shoulder. It's probably his shoulder.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm saying,
I'm not
like,
the smartest guy, but
Wouldn't you be interested in that, though? It's Carey Price. It's not the seventh defense.
Oh, yeah. People always go up to you and say, what's up with you? What's going on?
Right. And what's he going to say? Oh, can't talk, guys. See you later and run away? He's not going to do that.
I'm sure
So the answer's the same all the time. Yeah, it's getting a little better.
Yeah.
Like, what do you say after a while when you're hurt? You're like, there's no answers. You know, guys ask you every day. It seems like somebody's, hey, how you doing? No, not bad. Getting better. Like,
the way things are today, I wouldn't be shocked if they had that kind of policy. Like, don't even tell your own team. Like, it's crazy.
Everybody's
got a teammate that wants to tell one of their buddies, and then their buddy knows somebody else.
You guys ever do this? Did you ever ask somebody, you know, hey, how you doing? And it was one of the guys that was a detail guy. And he starts telling you about everything. And a third of the way through his, all you wanted to know is, are you doing better or not? And he's telling you, yeah, well, you know, when I step on my right foot, my left heel hurts. And and then halfway through this discussion, you're like,
I don't care.
I can't wait to get out of here. I don't really care. I got to get my skates on.
Yeah. Like,
Those are the worst guys.
I used to play with a guy that said, you'd say good morning. He'd be like, it's not that good. It's like, how miserable are you to fire that one out? It's not that good.
And was he waiting for you to follow up and be like, well, explain to me why it's not that good?
No, you just move on thing. Because there are guys that have a black cloud over their head, no matter if it's the greatest day on earth. They are just miserable as hell. I played with a few of them.
We had this guy who in Hartford who was incredibly quiet. He didn't say anything. And we also had a guy, Paul Lawless. I don't know if you guys ever played with Lawley. One of the funniest guys that I ever played with. He was a first-round pick by Hartford. But he'd come in every morning, and you'd have to walk through the room to get to where you changed out of your clothes. And he'd say to this guy every morning, big booming voice, good morning! The guy wouldn't say anything, and he'd go, good morning! He'd do it three times. The third time, the guy wouldn't answer, and he'd go, you're an ignorant man! And then he'd walk through. He'd do the same thing every day.
That's so annoying.
Oh. Just like, just say hi. Yeah. That's all he wanted to do was pull a hi out of him, but he couldn't get it.
Was he European or Russian? Like,
no, he was not.
That's
just
the
guy
thing.
That didn't say anything.
Just miserable all the time. But on the flip side, like, okay, dude, he's not going to say hi. Stop being annoying yourself.
No, that wasn't Lolly's way. He was, no way, no chance.
He would double down. That's what it is.
Always.
I wanted to ask you, because we're going to get into this in a few minutes. We got Chris Spielman coming up, a former NFLer, and he's NFL on Fox analyst. But this upcoming weekend, Greg Olsen, who's a tight end in Carolina, he's injured. He can't come back until, I think, week 12. But they play the Vikings, I want to say, week 13 and week 14. He's going to be calling a game. He's in the booth for Fox while he's injured, and he's going to be playing later in the season. And I guess Minnesota's really caused a big stir here. They don't want him around. They don't want him having access to what the media has access to. So they've, like, filed a complaint, essentially. But Fox is driving right through that stop sign, and Olsen's going to continue to do it. But if I can recall correctly, didn't you do that, Ray? Weren't you injured once and you, like, called a game? Or was it at the end of the season? Or what happened?
I got traded to L.A., and got a call from ESPN, said, do you want to do some studio work for us, do the first round of the playoffs? I said, I've never done it. And they said, yeah, we think you'd be good at it. So I said, okay, sure. So I went and did it, but I was still playing. I played three more years.
Right.
But I wasn't doing a game. I did some color, actually, when I broke my leg in 1993, the year that we went to the semifinals. I did some color on the radio with the Islanders, but that's a local broadcast. I never went to the rooms. I never talked to anybody. You know, I just basically analyzed what was going on in the game. But when I was doing it nationally with ESPN, that was a little different because you're commenting on both teams. And my last year I was in St. Louis, so I'd done it for like 4 years in the playoffs. And there was a scrum, and Uri Fischer had me in a headlock behind the net. And Steve Yzerman skates by. He's like, hey, Ray, why don't you analyze that? I thought he was going to squeeze my head off. And it was uncomfortable, for sure. I can't believe he's doing it, especially because football, they get access that we don't get. Like, because they're all national games. They're not... they're not in local broadcasts for television in NFL. So those guys go in, they sit with the coaches, they get the first 10 plays of the game.
Right.
Like, and that's why when they say, oh, you know, not Tony Romo, because I think he's awesome, but he's doing it as a quarterback. But a lot of guys will say, oh, the safety's up tight. Look, they're going to run a fade route because they know what the play is beforehand.
Exactly.
I can't believe they're going to let Olsen sit in those meetings.
Well, I don't think they are. I think that has been restricted. I think that's why the Vikings threw out, you know, basically a red flag and said, wait a minute, because you're right. They get access to the head coach, they get access to the quarterback, they get access to a... Like, there's no way you can have an opposing player in the room for that. But I think what they're concerned about is, okay, he's not in the room, but the two guys he's calling the game with, once they get up to the booth, they're going to be like, hey, take a look at this.
Yeah.
Like, so Olsen is going to have access to something that the Vikings probably won't want him to have.
Sure.
But I guess there's nothing they can do. They filed a complaint or they made their beef heard, but Fox is like, okay, we'll restrict whatever we can, but we're committed to it. Fox loves it because it's going to be cool to see.
Yeah.
A current player is going to be in the booth calling a game. So I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say, but it'll be crazy to watch him like 3 weeks later playing. This is an all-pro tight end on a Carolina team that is going to the playoffs and might play the Vikings in the playoffs.
That is.
I mean, what's he, you know, if he, you know, is Spielman going to share his notes?
He could. I mean, like, what's stopping them?
That puts Spielman in a bad spot.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, you want to do the game, you want to do your broadcast the best you can, but you look at it and go, oh, I can't tell him this.
Well, I guess you're right about that, but that's kind of like an honor thing where I'm sure the Vikings are going to be like, can you please not share it? And it's on him not to share it. And maybe Olsen will respect that. I'm sure he will. I think he understands this is a privilege. He's getting the opportunity. He wants to do it. I'm sure he's thinking about that next stage of his career.
Right.
Once I'm done playing, he wants to step into the booth and I'm sure be an NFL analyst. But I can't recall the last time I saw this where like an injured player mid-season who will be returning is going to call a game on national TV featuring two teams that aren't his own.
Yeah, I can't even think of one that would be. I mean, maybe if, in the NBA, they bring in guys in the playoffs to sit on the panel.
Yeah, on the panel. That's a bit different when you say. I mean, that's what you do.
The panel is not like doing the game.
Not it's even not close. Even,
no. Not close, especially for football with the detail that they get into. But if you're sitting there analyzing the game, a game analyst as opposed to studio guy. Things are happening, and you're supposed to react and tell people exactly what's going on, who made a mistake, why they made it, and now you're going to be commenting on guys you play against all the time. It's going to be that'll be weird for sure.
Yeah, it will be. All right, it's Tuesday. You guys ready for the toilet seat?
Flush it. I guess I don't feel like laying a toilet seat on everybody.
Come on, flush, you bastard.
Toilet Seat Tuesday.
I was just shaving.
All right, every Tuesday around this time, we go around the table. Who's got the toilet seat on? Noodles?
I'll go first. Unfortunately, this one may sting, but I think it's Team Italy, their soccer team. They've got to be wearing the toilet seat today. I don't even know if their manager takes the heat or the coach. The players certainly have to, but there are some black armbands. We talked about it earlier. There are probably some people in Italy that got sent home from work today because they were owly, and the bosses just didn't want them around.
I'm going with James Angelo, the loser on the subway, who was acting like a tough guy, but now he's loving fame.
Okay, you got to explain the story. It was beside LeBron James. LeBron was taking a video. He had asked LeBron to stay in his lane multiple times because LeBron was infringing on his liberties on the subway.
Yeah, no one wants to be on that train. Now he has all the time in the world for talk shows and radio shows and whatever else he needs. Now he loves it.
Well, I don't know if he loves it, but he's willing to pick up the phone and talk about it.
I'm just saying the guy's a loser. James Angelo's got a toilet seat.
The local train rider in New York apparently has the toilet seat. Ray, do you have anybody?
Yeah, I'm going to go with just the NHL. Last night's the Hall of Fame. What the hell are their games for?
Right.
Yeah.
Seriously. It seems to be more and more people are complaining about it, but just stop it. Have a dark night. Everybody in the hockey world is focused on this. Make it a bigger event. Make it a better event. Mm-hmm. Make it more focused. They get the toilet seat for that.
I'm going to go with Conor McGregor, who recently made an ass of himself by running into the octagon after a fight and caused a big stir.
That was ridiculous.
Like, his ego is so out of control.
And then pushed a ref, too.
Well, exactly. And there had been previous beef, I guess, between him and the ref. Yeah. But the ref's just doing his job. I'm sure he knew it was McGregor, but if some other idiot jumps in there, of course he's got to push him away or tackle him. That's a security issue. Yeah.
Well, didn't he want to congratulate a guy? And the guy that he wanted to congratulate looked like he wanted to kick his ass, too.
Of course he did. Have respect for the other guy that just lost.
Yeah.
You wouldn't like it if that was you in that situation. And I think his buddy was kind of like, dude, you know what you're doing. You're stealing my limelight by being the hero, Conor McGregor, so everyone's going to talk about you. So, complete toilet bowl routine. Apparently, he's been taken out of a future UFC event that he was supposed to be in, I think,
in
December.
He apologized today. Did you see that?
Yeah, of course, because UFC is
And plus, it's money. Like, he's taking money out of his own pocket by doing that.
Yes, he is. Anyway, there you have it. Every Tuesday.
That's a good room of toilet seats right there.
Yeah.
It is.
A variety. The NHL as a whole. Italy as a whole. The whole country.
Plus, you bastard.
The whole country.
There are some people that are really, really upset about it.
Yeah. Oh, it's a travesty, man. Not going to the World Cup, it's not going to be the same. I've never seen it in my lifetime.
It's not good.
They'll fix it the next time around. Yeah, right.
Yeah, we'll see about that. The Euros are only 3 years away.
That's going to come quick, eh?
Oh, yeah. All right, buddy. Good stuff. We'll do it again tomorrow.
Later. Talk to you then.
Ray Ferraro on Overdrive is brought to you by Valiant Financial. For fast approvals and competitive payment options on heavy equipment from any dealer, visit valiantfinancial.ca.